Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18 if you have one. If you don't, it's okay. The words will be over my head if you want to follow along. Above my head, I should say, rather than over my head. That's a bit weird, isn't it? They'll be above my head on the screen. We're going to read from verse 38. We're going to read John's account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's quite a long reading, so I've chopped some of it out so that, just for the sake of time, okay, but we'll look at, we'll pull out what I think will be really important for us today. John chapter 18 and verse 38. There's already been a lengthy trial of the Lord Jesus. And Pilate says in verse 38, "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again, saying again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Then down to verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we've been reading this passage every week as well. Romans 8, verse 31. "What then? shall we say, in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word to us. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, as your people, we don't want to live by fear, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. Would we share in his sufferings, that we also may share in his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have your Bible open at Romans 8, or your tablet, or your device, or whatever you're reading the Bible on this morning. I want to start this morning by asking you to think about a man called Barabbas. I read you a little bit of his story. In fact, we're not told much of his story, but I suspect for many of us that name is familiar. He's the guy who famously gets let off scot-free while the Lord Jesus is executing. The crowd shout for Barabbas to be released, and they shout for Jesus to be executed. I want you to try and imagine for a little while, even a little bit, what it must have been like for Barabbas the night of the trial and the morning of what was going to be his day of execution. Presumably, he's already had his trial. Witnesses have been called in. He's been cross-examined. Pilate has already decided what is to happen to Barabbas. Crucifixion. He's a violent criminal, a murderer, a rebel. Guilty as charged, the third cross that the Lord Jesus was executed on. Well, that had Barabbas' name on it. Justice should have been delivered to Barabbas. And I wonder how he felt that night in his cell. Was he puking his guts up? Was he playing a tough guy? Death? Ha! I laugh at death. Was he in frequent need of the toilet? Which generally is the feeling in my stomach when something scary is about to happen. And as a soldier or a jailer walked down and past all the cells and Barabbas could hear him coming, what was he thinking? Is this it? Death. And the door opened. And the soldier said to him, you are free to go. By comparison, how was the Lord Jesus treated at his trial? After the witnesses and the Lord Jesus is cross-examined by Pilate, and Pilate said again and again, we read it, I find no basis for a charge against this man. This guy's not guilty. What a justice demand for the Lord Jesus that he could go set free, that he could be set free. And yet he takes the place of Barabbas and dies on the cross. The not guilty was substituted for the guilty. The guilty was treated as the not guilty doesn't seem fair. Now, the Bible is clear that one day all of us will give an account to God for how we have lived our lives. Often the language the Bible uses is the language of a courtroom. It says that the books of my life will be flung open. Nothing will be missed. Everything will be uncovered before the one of whom we've got to give an account. The good and the hideously bad of my life. The times I've been faithful to God. The times I've committed the most awful offenses against Him. How do I feel about that day? Sometimes, like I think Barabbas must have felt that night waiting in his cell. Why? Because I know that I am guilty before God. I am a Barabbas when it comes to God. My life record is a list of offenses towards God and other people. I've known the good I ought to do, and I've not done it. I've known the evil that I shouldn't do, and I've done it many times willingly. I'm not a murderer yet. But I know that by my actions and my inactions, I've not treated my neighbor as I should have treated them. I've never been anything like a diary writer or a journal writer. You know those, the Dear Diary? And, you know, some people really like that. When I was 18, I tried it for about, 2 months. I thought that I was so full of my own self-importance that the world needs to remember my thoughts. As I said, it lasted about 2 months, and then it got chucked in a drawer and largely forgotten about. Until a couple of years later, and look at that, let's have a flick through that. It was just a record of my selfishness. God's eternal condemnation is what I deserve. It's what all of us deserve. But I want to give you some brilliant news today because of Easter. Because of Easter, followers of the Lord Jesus, all of us can say, my charges are covered. Over the past few weeks, we've learned, haven't we, that God's for us and He'll give us everything that we need. Well, because of Easter, followers of Jesus can say today, my charges are covered. Look at verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. These verses are telling us that the miscarriage of justice that happened between the Lord Jesus and Barabbas was part of God's good rescue plan for dealing with our condemnation. It not only really happened that first Good Friday between the Lord Jesus and Barabbas, but what happened there was also a picture for us that the punishment our sins deserve were put on Jesus so that God's justice against my sin would be satisfied. So that on the day of judgment, when God looks at me and He says, your charges are covered, you're free to go. Can I give you 3 amazing reasons why this is true? That we can say that if we're followers of Jesus. The first one in verse 33 is that God has justified us. God has justified us. Look at it again. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. On the day of judgment, Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, is not saying there are no grounds for any accusations against us. We are guilty as Barabbas. But we're being told that no charge will land successfully. Why? Because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us as He died on the cross. Now you might be wondering, if you're new to this local church, what does that word justify mean? That's not a word that we use very often. It's a Bible word. Well, one way of thinking about it is to say it's the opposite of being condemned. Okay? The word condemned, the word justified, that is the language, if you like, of a courtroom. A condemned man is declared guilty by a judge and sent for punishment. A justified person is declared not guilty by the judge and set free. We are being told here that despite the fact that us, have committed numerous offenses against God, he's willing to declare us not guilty and set us free. That is good news today. That's not something that we can do ourselves, no matter how hard we try. It is God alone who can do it. Earlier in the book of Romans, he says that God does it as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he justifies us. That's how he declares us not guilty and sets us free. Now, I've known some people come and ask in verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Am I one of those who have been chosen? Well, according to the Bible, the evidence of whether or not we have anything to fear is whether or not we are trusting the Lord Jesus right now. If we're trusting that he's forgiven our sins by his work at the cross on our behalf, that faith that says, yeah, I'm a Barabbas. I've committed many sins. I am guilty. Hell should be reserved for me. But my faith is in the Lord Jesus, the innocent one who took the place of me, the guilty one, so that I might be treated as innocent myself. I want to ask you this morning, do you have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for your sins? Good Friday declares that if that is true for you, then you are justified. You can know that right now, today, this morning, sitting in our seats in our local church, that on the day of judgment, God will look at you and say, your charges are covered. Why is this so important? Let me give you a few reasons. Going to church does not justify us. Giving to charity does not justify us. Getting a good job does not justify us. We can try lots of things to try and justify us that make us ready for the day of judgment or ready to stand before God. There are lots of things that we can maybe try to think, well, yeah, that will make me right in God's eyes. But God tells us that only faith in Jesus will do that. Let me give you another reason, especially if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus. We have an enemy, the devil. In the Bible, he's described as an accuser and a liar. And he loves to have us remember past failures and sins. He loves to whisper in our ear, that's a sin that's too much for God. You've just put yourself in danger on the day of judgment. You're finished with God. You know, God does not want us sitting between now and that day feeling like Barabbas, thinking, ah, man, I've got to go to the toilet every 2 minutes because I'm doomed. Because of Easter, followers of Jesus can say to those whispers that we're finished with God. We're not. It's not true. God has chosen to justify me and all my charges are covered. I know that I'm unworthy. I'm sinful. But God in his mercy has sent the Lord Jesus to die for me. I'm not relying on myself. I don't need to worry about the future because Jesus has done everything for me. Pastors often use the word reassurance. If you're a Christian here this morning, I want to give you reassurance about that day. You don't need to lie in bed terrified. If you trust in Jesus, your charges are covered. We don't need to keep trying to prove ourselves to God. As if on that day there'll be a, you know, kind of some sort of eternal pile of scales that I hope my prayers and my Bible reading kind of, you know, make God pleased. That's not how it's going to work. Just faith in Jesus. And you can say, my charges are covered. I want him to direct my steps. Much more briefly, let me give you some more reasons why we can say this. The next one is Jesus is alive. That's another reason that we can say my charges are covered. Verse 33 again. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. We're told we won't face any charges on that day. It's impossible because Jesus died to satisfy God's justice. It was put on him, not on us. He faced it all for us, including the death that we deserve. But Jesus didn't just die. He was raised to life again. Real physical life after he'd been dead. And the resurrection is a declaration by God that he is pleased with everything that Jesus did that day. That his justice has been satisfied. That the sacrifice was good. And it was everything that we needed. Now imagine for a moment you're sitting there and I said to you after the service, okay, I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to walk out onto the A10 in front of an articulated lorry. And that's the end of me, okay? That's a bit grim, but go with me. But that's it. How would you know if that was effective? I'd be dead. But we know with the Lord Jesus that when he says he's died for our sins, it's effective because he's alive. He's not dead. If Jesus died and that was it, we could never be sure if his death did anything at all for us. But the resurrection declares that all Jesus did for us is true. Where is the Lord Jesus now, we're told? At the right hand of God. He's in heaven for us. The place of highest honor. His work accepted by his Father. He's going to be there until the point of his return. I think this is supposed to produce in us a right humility. Humility. Over the past year, lots of people have become experts, haven't they? Experts in viruses, vaccines, surviving lockdowns. Experts in what the police should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Experts in governing during a pandemic. Experts in all sorts of ways. We want our voice and our opinion to be heard. If you use social media especially, you want the likes to crank up, don't you? That feels good to know that, yeah, people are behind us. What does believing my charges are covered do? Well, for the Apostle Paul, he said, I've got nothing to boast about except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not to think of myself more highly than I ought. I'm a guilty Barabbas, but Jesus has rescued me. I'm not to look down on others because of their background or their education or the color of their skin or because of the opposite sex. No, not at all. As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be humble and think, he served me. How can I serve others? I'll put aside what I want, what I think I deserve at our local church, and seek the good of other people. Even if no one phones me or knocks on my door, even if no one brings me a meal, I am going to do those things for others. Because Jesus is alive. And I'm going to follow him. I'm going to boast in Jesus alone. Third reason we can say my charges are covered. Look at how the verse, look at how verse 34 ends. He's at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus, and is also interceding for us. Some people think, what is the Lord Jesus doing right now? Right now in heaven. What does that mean that he's interceding for us? Well, he's constantly speaking to his Father on behalf of all his people. Okay? He's there right now. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's speaking to his Father about us. Why is it important? Well, because even though we're justified, even though we're declared not guilty, we've been set free, we still sin. And when we sin, we feel guilty. And sometimes we may wonder, will God really forgive me again, even though I keep doing this? Am I not too bad? Have I ruined it? Have I screwed it up? Well, whenever we sin, for followers of Jesus, the Lord Jesus looks at his Father in the throne room of heaven, and he says, look at what I did on the cross for them. Look what I accomplished. Justice has been paid for that sin. You, I, and the Holy Spirit must forgive them. Isn't it amazing that that's what's happening in the throne room of heaven right now for our sins? What impact is that supposed to have in our lives? Well, as you read the rest of Romans 8, and I would encourage you to do that afterwards, it means we don't have to live our lives measuring ourselves up against what the world says it values. We've got a new identity. In the language of Romans 8, we're children of God, or people of the Spirit. We don't need to crave what our world craves in terms of acceptance or their standards. We don't need to compare ourselves with how they're doing. We've got to live the way that Jesus has set for us. He'll change us. You know, I would hate for anyone to leave this place thinking the message of Christianity is just pull yourself up and change yourself. No! It'll never work. The message is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that he'll forgive your sins. And let him change us. As we close, this is a little bit of a weird question, but I want you to think, what is the worst thing you've ever done? Think of the most shocking sin that you could be charged with before God, that you've committed. Possibly only you and God know about it because you're so ashamed of it. Do you ever have that nagging fear about it? That it will be your undoing when you stand before God? Do you know what Romans 8, 33 and 34 say? My charges are covered. Praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you justify all who trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is standing beside you, pleading on our behalf right now for the sins that we've committed this week, today, this morning, even during this time in church together. Thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and you love to forgive us. Father, this week as we head towards Easter, would we declare to this area, to people we know who struggle so often to forgive themselves, that because the Lord Jesus died and is alive now, all charges against us are covered. That he deals with our guilt and our shame. And we can be declared not guilty. Please reassure us with this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.